You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead. Enjoy the show. Podcast.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
of
all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN.
The freedom of speech is a basic right which I hold dearly. Big tech companies and social media sites unfortunately don't see it that way, with their censorship and their silencing tactics. To fight back against that, I use ExpressVPN. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access tech giants make all their money, they essentially track your searches, your video history, and everything you click on, they build a profile, and they sell off your sensitive data. Doesn't sound fair to me. So let's stop allowing big tech companies to revoke our rights to free speech. Let's revoke their right to sell your data instead. Secure your internet with the VPN I trust for online protection. Visit ExpressVPN.com/JRER. That's ExpressVPN.com/JRER right now.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. Joined as always by my co-host, partner in crime, Garrett. How you doing, bud?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
I thought last week was a controversial week. We got another controversial week, another Rogan apology video.
Heavy.
Yeah, cancel culture is coming at him hard, and they might not stop now. I want to say a little bit of something about this, just because obviously, you know, we listen to Joe all the time, and this is like an unusual kind of point in the history and journey of the Joe Rogan Experience. So, you know, I would say understand this. He is not a racist, okay? I don't need to know him personally because Garrett and I have listened to thousands of hours of his podcast like so many others. And it's literally my job, our job, to pay attention to what he's saying and relay it kind of in different ways. Now, I'm not a racist. Neither is Garrett. I can't stand racism, ever. And even if I had the tiniest inclination towards the idea that Rogan was a racist, I wouldn't listen to him at all because I wouldn't tolerate it. There's no way. This is a hatchet job, right? These podcasts of him saying that have been around for almost a decade. He didn't try and hide them and delete them or do anything like that. I mean, he kept them there, just in Spotify's world. However, I understand that people are upset just watching that video. I would be if I didn't know anything about who he was. And for anyone that watched a couple of those video clips, maybe in context, they would see it differently. But other people could still be annoyed, and that would make sense. This one is a painful one to watch, and it's a weird one. You can't really apologize for saying that word either because of the heat and emotion that comes with it. Like, you're kind of fucked regardless. And it looks horrible. There's no doubt about that. And he probably should have never said it. However, let's look at this for what it is, right? He was famous. He was famous then from Fear Factor and other things, but he wasn't the most listened to thing on the planet. He was a silly show where people often said dumb and outrageous shit while high. So it's almost like he would have needed to fucking anticipate the future in order to be responsible for everything he would say to some degree. I mean, just take our show. We haven't done anywhere near as many shows as Joe, but we have hundreds of hours of us talking. And I bet someone could splice together something horrible that they could release one day with us. And maybe they will. And I'm sure I'll be sorry. But it's a little unfair, right? Because social norms change over time. And that's why I just go back to this being a hatchet job. Some people are out to cancel him because they can't control him. Let's not lose sight of the timing of this compilation. Like, if you could take all things ever said by a person, right, and use it against them, no one would ever look good. Even the nicest woke people have said very, very inappropriate things at least once in their lifetime. The problem is, he might be fucked now to some degree because people can just keep splicing these videos together and pointing out insulting things that he's said, taken out of context. It could go on forever. I hope they don't, because that would be stupid, but they could. But, and think of it this way, right? The word fuck is a harsh word. And we, on this podcast, need to put explicit advisory on our podcast because sometimes we cuss. So imagine a future where that word gets woke banned for being so offensive. Then someone makes a video compilation of us using that word in the future, and I have to then apologize for it because people could try and cancel us. It could be done, right? You could see that. You can't know how things will be taken years from now. We can't know the future. Now, I'm not saying Joe's video is exactly related to that example. Oh, as the word he used has almost always been very charged, especially like in the last 50 years. But you know where I'm going with this. This is an attack job. There are real racist people out there that they aren't trying to cancel. And they're continuing. So cancel culture is specifically working hard right now to cancel Rogan. And at the end of the day, someone has been sitting on this video, I assume, waiting for the iron to strike hot in order to cancel Joe. It's the perfect plan to try and cancel him, really. Although I doubt they will succeed. This is a shit time for Rogan, I'm sure. But avid listeners of his show know that he has a great deal of respect for all people. So this too shall pass, Joe. No one is perfect with their speech, always. I think everyone can agree with that. That said, please let's see it for what it is. And also honor the fact that some people watched that video and got very upset. And that's valid. Like, people are allowed to get upset when they see things like that. That's my two cents on it, man.
I mean, weird time. I'm thinking to myself, as you're saying that, what swings the pendulum on the other side? Because if we've come this far and the ideas cancel, why is the idea not bring each other up? Why is that not the go-to immediate thought? And then maybe the other thing where you kind of evaluate what's going on, that might be a secondary thing, the automatic move to divide. It's constantly dividing us all the time, whether or not you agree with this or you don't agree with that. Now I see these guys posting. It's like somehow we've been put into these different categories where – now, I read this guy's post that I grew up with, and it was, take it for a grain of salt, but he's saying that the Rogan supporters are worse than Trumpers. And I'm just thinking to myself, what an interesting category to just pinpoint different people in and try and segue them and just, why are we trying to tear each other down? If you gave him some time or you gave, I mean, I know he comes from a genuine spot, so it's a weird time to be putting these labels on him. And it kind of, again, seems like one of those things where it's a last ditch effort. Cause if you've seen the plays from people's past already, like it kind of seems like a three way prong. Like it's either like a gender, like transphobic, or that you go that route. And then next play is misinformation, at least given these circumstances and these parameters. And then the next one, which is the one there's no coming back from, because once they try and put you in that category, granted, Joe has a long list of, it's just weird having to have people vouch for you in this situation, because nothing that he was doing was, directly implicit. So that's why when you start apologizing for things that didn't have the same like hate behind it that's being critical and criticized, I understand where people are coming from. It's interesting to apologize for something that you didn't intend. I understand people's feelings. I get that. Also, it's you choose what you listen to. I mean, we discussed that too. I mean, you gotta you seek out what you seek out, and not that everybody should have free rein to say whatever they want in any context. But again, like you said, and not to reiterate, it's like take any one of those situations, and rather than just soundbite it, you got to give it 15 minutes or a little bit of time to see where he was going with that, and then you have to evaluate that that scenario. I mean, easier said than done, and I'm sure it looks terrible in that video. Even to his credit, he said it's kind of feels good now that it's out in the open. Like, he's made reference to that at this point. Like, he's like, I felt bad having that. He's like, I knew that was floating around. He's like, now that I have nothing to hide. He's like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. People are like, no. The hard thing about some of this is, you know, we often wonder why politicians don't ever apologize for fucking up, or like the mainstream media never comes on and goes, oh yeah, we really messed the story up. So now Rogan has gone ahead and done that. He came out and said, look, I'm sorry. And he's done it twice in a week.
Right.
Because he's genuine about those things. He's sorry. And then he's still attacked for the apology like that means nothing, which really just reinforces why politicians don't do it anyway. It's almost saying, oh, there's no value to apologize. Well, what is that really teaching anybody? That's far worse. There should be some credit for the fact that he's coming and genuinely saying it. This isn't just like one of those things where a politician gets caught embezzling everything. And you know the only reason he's apologizing now is to try and save his job or something. I mean, I guess there's some element of that, but I feel like Joe is genuine with this. It's hard to say that he's not.
I don't think he would sacrifice his integrity and authenticity for even this, you know? That's just not in his makeup. It's not possible. It's just not feasible. It wouldn't make any sense. I mean,
bit of a change of pace. Did you happen to, and I don't know if they played it for everybody, but I'm sure they did on Spotify, they made like a new ad in his show, but it was a commercial for his show. Did you see that?
I'm not sure.
It was like a minute spliced together that would just, it was like an advertisement for Rogan's show, which they'd never done anything like that before. It just showed a bunch of people on there having a good time, saying silly things, having fun, just kind of capturing the essence of like what Rogan's show was. And it was like a minute long. I wonder if that's a thing they're going to start showing from now on. And I wonder about the timing of it. Like, I wonder why it came out this week after these last couple of weeks.
I think they need to show full support, and I hope Spotify doesn't like pedal back. It's interesting that the government's reaching out to Rogan in some degree and like qualifying his, you got to be treading on some friggin' light waters if you're scared of a independent guy that's like getting his voice out there and maybe seeing like a different scope. I don't see anybody trying to shut down Fox or trying to shut down MSNBC. We're just all calling it bullshit. That's all we're doing is calling it bullshit. Yeah, you keep doing it because you guys know it's a cash cow and people are watching it and you got your demographic. We get it. But we're looking for truth. And truth hurts sometimes. So
I feel like that was a bad move of the White House. Like, don't you have more important shit to do? Like, right? Isn't Russia trying to invade the Ukraine? Are we worried about what's being said on a podcast?
You're selling us
steady on, folks.
Right. You guys have bigger fish to fry if that's the case, but it kind of has been. I mean, throughout COVID and throughout the whole process, you think about certain people, like, what if that forum didn't exist? We would have none of this content and none of this alternative thought process. We'd just be, shit, we're watching the death count on MSNBC and we all got to get vaccinated. 4 shots in the forehead and then we have to figure it out from here. You didn't have the alternative option to listen to somebody else, and it seems like these platforms are starting to wear away, if you will, at this mainstream media. I don't, and case in point, there you can add up all the networks. I don't think they're even touching his downloads.
Not even close. Not even close. Well, let's jump over to the episodes anyway, because we could probably just talk about this shit all day. Right. Who we got? We got Andy Stump. Andy Stump, former Navy SEAL, squirrel suit world record holder, I believe. Podcaster.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah. He's a badass. He's from Montana. Not anywhere near where I live, I think. He's quite far away. But Montana's a big place. Loves it up here, though. Squirrel suit, dude. That's insane in itself. Like, anything to do with that is just terrifying. I love watching those videos. They're super inspiring. I'm just like, how badass are human beings? But I couldn't imagine it, especially when they're, like, flying near the rocks and things.
Whew. I'm trying to think where I would want a squirrel suit over, but I think you need those valleys to gain momentum. I don't know. I just made that up. I've never seen anybody squirrel suit over the ocean, have you?
Well, yeah, you can do it kind of anywhere. I mean, they start out just jumping out of planes. I think it takes a while before they're flying up against the mountains, and I'm pretty sure that all starts with, like, a base jumping. So they just kind of climb to the top and then jump off, and they've got set routes, and I'm sure they're the guys that are the very best at it.
Squirrel suit's right up there with Alex Hamill and climbing the free. Yeah. That guy, that's probably the scariest thing. Squirrel suit's a tight second to that.
It really is. It really is. I mean, it's the kind of thing that makes my hands sweat just watching a video of it. And that's how I know I'm way too afraid to even get close to attempting it. But it's pretty badass to watch it. Joe sounded like he had a cold on that episode. Did you notice?
Maybe
the stress is getting to him.
Nah, I think he was just... I think it's cold in Austin right now, probably. And when you're out running in sauna and smoking weed, it probably has something to do with...
Maybe. I can't remember the last time he sounded like he was, you know, coming down with something, though.
I heard that. I liked it that Andy made reference to what was going on, as far as that was the week prior to, I think, the initial controversy with misinformation and whatnot. And Joe kind of just made reference to... He stuck to what he tells everybody. It was kind of refreshing because he's like, I just don't pay attention to what's going on. And he was taking his own medicine. I could genuinely get that vibe. He wasn't on his comments. He wasn't in his DMs. He just was like, I'm just going to do what I say I do. He didn't seem as affected by it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they jumped. They also talked about social media and, like, which pages get promoted, right?
Right.
And
right.
I often wonder that because there is that big screen when you go to search that has all, like, I don't know, like rows of three where it's just like a bunch of different videos. And it really is like never any of the controversial ones. It's just like the most lighthearted, fun things, which is probably good, right? Because that keeps people just looking at, you know, cute stuff. And it's often like beautiful hotels and places you can never afford to go, but they look cool. But you got to think, because he was like, he has a lot of followers. But I bet he's never one of the suggested sites.
Why is that?
Well, just because there's more controversy around kind of who he is.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how they pick those pages.
That's what makes you wonder about that algorithm. Is the algorithm a real thing, or who's choosing the algorithm, and how much of a, like, a 1 degree shift does it have to take in order for you not to see that? I wonder.
Well, it kind of just points out the importance of, like, word of mouth, which is really all his podcast has ever been. He's never advertised it. And I'm sure the 14-plus million Instagram followers he has are just from people that listen on the podcast rather than his page kind of popping up or, like, retweets. Oh, this gotcha. Also, if you're a listener of us, this is why you should follow our Instagram, because I'm sure we're not promoted there either. Link in the bio, nerds. Get on it.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Though, honestly, we don't post a lot over there. I'm so lazy with that. I should get better. I should put some cool stuff on there.
Put some dog photos.
It's my commitment. I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, remember when they talked about how many times they've had concussions, both of them?
Yeah, I was going to make mention of that. I feel like I had quite a few concussions as a kid. There was a lot of those moments where I, like, saw stars, but I would just bounce back. You know, I remember there'd be a moment there's, like, for whatever reason, banging your head against the pole or, like, getting whacked in the head real hard or just falling hard on a skateboard or something. But you would just see stars for about
see some whites in my eyes for about 10-20 seconds, then just come back and go right back to playing ball.
Yeah, that's definitely a concussion. That's right. Definitely a concussion. And I've had a few of those for sure. I had a real bad one once. I was hit hard in the eye, just above my eye. It split my eye, and I couldn't see anything for almost a whole minute. And I wonder what the long-term effects of that are. Probably not good. It's probably 50% responsible for most of the stupid shit we say on this. It's from permanent brain damage.
That's fair. That's
yeah,
fair.
Bad. And Joe hurt his head skiing. And that's why when everyone is trying to get me skiing and snowboarding up here, that's like the one thing that I'm just like, I don't know about that, guys.
I've had a few of those.
I'm like, I don't know, man. You hit, hit a tree. There's a lot of ways to hurt yourself, or you.
I've had a few that way. I am sure of that. I had a buddy do that.
He talked a lot about workouts. I mean, he's a jiu-jitsu guy. He went to that jiu-jitsu camp with Jocko. That sounded badass. I'm sure it would have been a brutally grueling 5 or 10 days or however long he said he went there for. But, you know, as a purple belt where he is now, I mean, that's a really legit belt. And I'm sure he got a ton out of being with those guys and pushing himself like that. I think because he's a SEAL, or was, he probably just, you know, you just can't get that kind of competition out of your system, I'd imagine. It must be really difficult to do.
Yeah, once you set the bar that high, you got to find other hobbies that fit that story as well. Jocko's black belt, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a high-level guy. He's been a black belt a very long time. I mean, he's about as legit as it gets. And he hosts a lot of those seminars. So because he's always in a teaching position too, I mean, they're always going to be the best black belts. And he's a tank. I mean,
right.
Imagine how big Jocko would be if he just stopped working out. If he had retired and went, nah, just like ice cream. He would just put balloon up. I mean, he's still massive. But all that would turn to fat. I mean, that's the big thing that I've been thinking about. I've been talking to some friends that have put on a lot of weight since COVID. And, you know, they've been working from home. They haven't really been doing a lot. I mean, I get it. But even a few of them that have still been hitting the gym have really struggled to kind of lose weight. And when I talk to them, it's always about sugar. It always seems to come down to how much sugar they're eating.
That's poison. It's like sand in the gears. You can work out so much, but you're holding yourself back and not optimizing your levels with those kind of habits. You notice how quickly people order like sodas right out the gate, and that becomes the pattern a lot of the time. And you think you're doing yourself a favor by drinking Gatorade all the time. I don't think that's the case, bud.
Yeah, sugar is the sodas are the worst thing. I think beer is up there too. Like people can get in the habit of drinking a lot of beers. They do have a lot of sugar in, and that'd make you gain a lot of weight. It's, I mean, one of our sponsors is called Focus, Phocus, and you've tried those drinks, right?
Solid. I mean, substitute would be an understatement. If you guys are looking for something to take that kind of replacement for that sugar, I want to say high that you get, but in a different realm, it's. It's caffeine based, so you're getting a lot more out of it, and you're not dealing with all the sand, if you will.
Yeah, they got good flavors. So they're like those sparkling water drinks with like the natural flavors in, and it has I think 75 milligrams of caffeine, so really pitch you up. And if you are stuck in a cycle of like drinking too much soda and you can't get out of it, which many people are, that's definitely the way to go.
Right. It's like a clean coffee, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it has L-theanine in too, which is like a really good, it's like the compounding green tea. So it stops the jitters. So you don't get too wired. I mean, this certainly isn't like drinking a Red Bull. I'll put a link in the bio for Focus, and you get through us with discount code JRER. You get 12 cans for $12. So it's a nice discount on that. So if you are like eating too much sugar, struggling with sugar, and you need to get off the sodas, which we recommend. You're going to feel so much better. It's what I've been saying to all my buddies that are getting too fat. For sure. Go ahead and get these. Yeah, for sure. For sure. On top of that, obviously, workouts are still going to be really your best bet for getting in shape and losing weight. Andy owned his CrossFit gym. Have you ever done much CrossFit?
I have done quite a bit of CrossFit. I'd say the majority of my workouts are CrossFit based. I stay away a lot from the jerking movements personally. That's just the personal thing that I've kind of figured out over the years that I don't necessarily enjoy. That knees over toes guy always focused on flexibility and stuff, and I get behind that. But the herky-jerky movements for me, and it's all about form, I get that. But either way, yeah, the kettlebells are going to be some of the best bets that you can get and some of the best workouts you can get. I definitely vouch for that. I have one 32-pound kettlebell out here, and if I ever don't want to go to the gym, you can spend an hour out here dominating and find a nice little medium, you know?
Oh, yeah. So CrossFit is a lot of jerking movements? Is it? Because I've heard that people do get quite injured doing that often.
It's a total variety, which I do embrace and do like. I like working all kinds of supersets and doing different stuff rather than the traditional just let's lift 50-pound dumbbells, bicep curls, tricep pushbacks, do the normal stuff. Like kettlebells allow you a lot of diversity and opportunity to like get different body movements.
They do those like keep up pull ups though, right? In that are like swinging. Those things look like that alone will cause an injury.
Yeah, there's a lot of those movements, and I think just like clean and jerks is one of the actual movements that they call. I think the community idea from CrossFit, from what I've seen, is one of the main attributes that makes it so enticing, because you're going through these hellish experiences, and it's time too, rather than rep based. I think the time thing helps a lot of people's workouts, mine included. Rather than like seeking out 10 or 12 reps, if you do something for 45 seconds, as many as you can, I think you're going to get a lot out of your more performance a lot of the time, and a lot of it's time-based. So I see the benefit of CrossFit workouts. And like I said, the community aspect, I think, is a big draw. But if you can push yourself and find that, I don't necessarily think that CrossFit is something that you need to do all the time. But that's just my own.
Yeah, I guess there's a community aspect, and a lot of times accountability is like the only thing that can keep people consistent. So if that's the case, you know, I'd be for it for that. I mean, at least you're getting there and working out.
Yeah, I get that.
They hit the Canada truck protest stuff, and you're hearing that a lot on YouTube right now because the mainstream media is not really covering it. So it's the truck convoy protest is against the vaccine mandate. Even though a lot of the truck drivers are vaccinated, they're against the mandate. It sounded like Trudeau escaped to the U.S., or they just think he did. That seems wild. Like, he got out of that.
Remember when he was, like, standing with everybody early on, and then it somehow shifted? It's like, well, how did everything shift?
Well, I mean, the truck drivers were agreeing with him at one point, and then when they don't agree with him, I mean, they become the enemy, don't they? That's politics. What was the NDA thing they were talking about, where you can get locked up forever without trial? And that's something in the U.S.?
Did you say NDA?
I think it was NDA, they were saying. It's like some law that was passed. And then
Non-disclosure Act? Like if you,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's what it means, but they were saying something about it, and I was just like, that sounds like the most insane thing that could exist. I can't believe that we have a law like that. It's scary. Wow. That's terrifying. Right? That's terrifying to do that.
I think to be honest with you, terrifying is an aggressive word, because you can just kind of see it all unfolding, but the silencing.
You got to get closer to the mic, buddy.
But the silencing of like the other side at this point is an interesting thing watching unfold.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends how they use that law, but it doesn't sound like something that would be a good idea at all. On to something a bit funnier was when he was talking about Joe going to the shooting range. And you could tell when he brought that up, he wanted to kind of give Joe a bit of a hard time, but nothing like he gave Callum. Just literally saying Brian Callum sucks at shooting.
He's laughing out loud. That was great.
Dude, everyone loves picking on Brian. I almost feel bad for him, but he takes it well, and they all love him to death. But God, that guy gets picked on.
I haven't heard from him in a while. I don't know if I thought I followed his stuff. I don't know if I just haven't heard from him or if he's been low key for a bit.
But... Oh no, he's still doing Fighter and the Kid and pumping out content for sure. Nice. Yeah, he's on there. I think he went quiet for a while, but yeah, he's definitely back. I'd love to go over to that Terran Tactical place and learn how to do that just because of how fun it looks. But to be honest, I am pretty nervous around guns a lot of the time. I don't know, like, how super comfortable I'd be. It's probably healthy to be a little nervous around guns, though. It probably keeps you safer if you're more wary of them. You're not swinging them around.
That's true.
Yeah, bad idea.
He's like, what do you call it? He's like, you went out to the John Wick Institute there, didn't you, bud?
Yeah.
I think that would be the most fun. He was talking about shooting targets outside of his back of his house in Montana.
Oh, you can do that here, no problem. Yeah, it's like the Wild West. I'm pretty sure you can just kind of head up into the woods and, you know, shoot away at a log if you want to. They don't seem too bothered. I'm sure there's some restrictions, don't quote me, but yeah, it's pretty much like that. They ended up talking about how many podcasts Joe Rogan has started. I would be really interested for somebody to go back and kind of count them up and see, you know, at what point did he have a guest on? He talks about them starting a podcast, and now they have a really legit podcast. I mean, it must be a dozen, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say a dozen in the top 50, probably.
Oh, for sure. Could easily be that many. I mean, Jocko, definitely influenced by him. Cameron Haynes, for sure. I mean, Andy, yep. Some more of Hunter guys, no
you
doubt.
Could say, I mean, you could start saying Theo, Andrew, Tony.
I mean, yeah.
Pick one.
Oh, for sure, 100%. Really, all the comedians, I would imagine. Right. A lot of them.
Right.
Yeah. And then even some guys, I don't know if Sam Harris maybe came on Rogan before he did his podcast. Does Goggins have one now? I feel like he definitely should if he doesn't.
I don't know if he has an actual podcast, but he's always making videos. He basically uses Instagram as podcast to some extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. The support that he showed Joe right out the jump too was pretty epic. I mean, I don't know. It put a smile on my face to read that. Like right after I saw the video of all what was going down, and the first thing I saw was Goggins' post, I was like, that's refreshing, because Goggins is a strong voice, regardless of what.
Yeah, Goggins said something like, people have been messaging me a lot, and it's almost like you forgot that I give a fuck.
That was my favorite line. I was about to quote that one too. Like, I was like, that's my favorite. Like, don't give a fuck, bud.
Yeah, he doesn't pull any punches though, does he? Let's be honest. All right, let's jump over to Randall Carlson and finish up this bad boy. There was only two this week. This podcast is brought to you by Podcorn. Podcorn is the company that first brought ads to our podcast, the JRE Review. They've always done a great job setting us up with companies that match our podcast, and getting paid through them is really quick and efficient. They always get back to me, and I absolutely love working with them. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast sponsorship opportunities, such as host read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. With Podcorn, there is no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform, set their own rates, collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivity. You never give up any rights to your podcast, which is very important, and Podcorn is here to support you every step of the way. So if you have a podcast, doesn't matter what size or where your audience is, set up a Podcorn account at podcorn.com, link in my bio, and start working with the best in the business for bringing advertisements to podcasts. So once again, a big thanks to Podcorn for everything you've done, and we look forward to working with you in 2022. Again, podcorn.com, go set up an account and log your podcast in and start selling some ads. So Randall Carson is, it sounded like he was a math teacher, geometry teacher early on, and then went into studying kind of fault lines and asteroid impacts and geology, sure. Right? I mean,
I'm pretty sure absolute across the board triathlete genius.
Yeah, he's definitely a super smart guy. His voice is great too. It's perfect for podcasting. He has a great,
absolutely.
Yeah, he almost sounds like Jesse Ventura. Kind of.
I know. He seemed like he should have been like in Back to the Future for some reason.
Yeah, right. He's like the doc.
Yeah.
Like, we're going back to this asteroid site. He's very passionate, let's be honest. Very passionate.
Talking about Atlantis. What a man, it's like that's like a dream of some sort.
I mean, having an 18-hour podcast series on it. I mean, and he said he barely could get to like all the information. I'm like, how much information that you have about a place no one's even sure if it exists? Like, wow, dude. What's interesting about this guy is that early on most people in like the scientific community didn't agree with him, and I'm sure lots don't now, but over time and exposure and other researchers looking at his kind of alternative way of perceiving, you know, the geological history of the Earth, more people are on board. And that's interesting, too, to kind of reflect back to the whole COVID misinformation aspect of things, because he was probably seen as misinformation to start with. And if there was that kind of level of control where people could just shut you down immediately, nobody would have continued to hear his voice. And Randall has, over the years, like been able to add his kind of narrative to the history of the Earth, and parts of it are being seen as truthful and research worthy. So you got to be brave to kind of have that voice and keep it going. But there's also another part of it where you need to allow his voice to kind of be spoken so that you have that alternative understanding, and it's like you're allowed to add that to the space. Does that make sense? Kind
of waffling. Yeah. No. Everything that he was saying made sense too. And he's talking about water erosion and a lot of these things that he's obviously researched. It's an interesting thing for a scientist to have a commingling interest, as far as from like a pharmacy standpoint or whatnot. If you're working for a company that you need to develop some kind of drug that fits a narrative, he's like, I'm just going through and seeing what actually happened in history to make sense of it all.
Yeah, like, he's certainly a scientist, not, right? Yeah, he's certainly not winning any favor early on with his theories. I mean, it wasn't he had stock in it. I mean, he just saw it to be true, and he just tried to prove it as best he could.
And if you're on the other side making money, what's the obvious play you're going to say to your counterparts? Oh, that's misinformation. Like, well, why? What else would you say?
Or if you're like a university professor that's taught this kind of anthropology or like geology for so many years, and someone else comes along with a completely different story, you're going to push against that too, because it's hard for you to make a left turn. I mean, you got to be like, wait a minute, that's just one guy. I haven't heard this from anyone. I don't know if that's true. But it's still worth listening, because there might be some truth in it.
Yeah.
That talk about Atlantis is a fun idea. I would love for them one day to develop, like Elon makes some sort of satellite that can just scan the ocean, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, there it is. It's just like plain as day. Like, at some building at the bottom of the ocean. Like, oh, there it is. Well done. We found it. It's fun, too, to think that there was an ancient civilization that was, like, advanced in some way, too. Not to say they'd be more advanced than us today, but just way more intelligent than we thought people were at that time. I think that's great. It's like finding Göbekli Tepe we realized, oh, wow, we've been building really cool shit for way longer than we thought. Like, we should give ourselves more credit. It's not like we were just hitting each other over the head with rocks and hiding in caves during this time. Like, we were building pretty advanced structures.
Pyramids, Mayan ruins, all kinds of stuff, you know? A lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how much, like, cool stuff there is out there still to discover. I mean, there's going to be a ton, but it must be so difficult to do that kind of research because it all crumbles away, you know, things grow over it, stuff just collapses. I mean, it's hard. Really, all we have left is like giant rock formations that we've put into place, like Stonehenge, the pyramids. I mean, it has to be something that massive. Otherwise, it just wouldn't stand the kind of test of time.
Totally. I appreciate that story, but even with that said, thinking about this small little pebble cruising through this huge universe, you think about the stuff they were talking about as far as like asteroids and meteors, just barely missing us from time to time. Like I think to myself, whenever saying that, and there's been a couple of movies, like there's been one they just made, Don't Look Up. Have you seen that?
Netflix? Yeah, see that movie was great.
Oh, epic! But so I think to myself about that narrative. Like, would that bring everybody together or separate everybody? I feel like they kind of hit the nail on the head. Nobody would be like, fuck it. It's 27 miles away. It should take about 20 days. But what's 20 days? Whatever. And then day one would hit, and everybody would be like, well, shit. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to think about. If you started thinking about life in such like a fragile state, you might value those around you just a little bit more, and the feelings and the love and the opportunity and the like everything might just be a little bit more like gratitude based if you realized how quickly it could be taken away.
What do you think would happen if we like let's say we finally get some satellite up in space? And it's like the latest and greatest thing. It's so much better than everything that we had. And it starts scanning, calculating. And then within an hour, it's like, oh, bad news. We got 1 year and this asteroid, you know, the size of Texas is going to hit the Earth. And it's straight up one of those from a movie. It's going to wipe us out. So all right. Do you think we, like, all nations come together under this, like, everyone starts working to figure out how to stop it?
Everybody's like, let's get on this Zoom call. Everybody.
Everyone in the world. Biggest Zoom ever. Any ideas, please?
Well, bracket them out. Let's start talking about some things. Everybody start shooting some ideas. Let's figure out how can we all come together and save the world.
Yeah. And the next day, Elon and Jeff Bezos just leave the planet on rockets. And we're like, hey, guys. And they just go. And they're gone. They're like, later, guys. They knew something we didn't.
Bezos, Leo, and Brad just gone.
Yeah, they take Brad with them for sure. Got to hang out with a cool dude in space. It's interesting to think. I think that we would want to come together. I don't know how you'd stop it. What did they say? I like that idea where you could put like a booster on the asteroid.
Rocket and shoot and it like a push couple it degrees.
Slowly.
Makes sense.
Nice idea.
You see how quickly he made that boat reference. Like, if you guys are both going parallel and one goes 2 degrees to the left over the course of time, that fucker is going to be gone way off course.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take much, right, to just take something. I mean, you've got millions of miles to deal with, so you change it like 1 degree and you might be in good shape. Unless you put it on another course that you didn't calculate at the time and it just crashes into something else that causes a problem.
You gotta think about that later.
Yeah, one step at a time with a giant asteroid, for sure. Well, what did they say too? If we had, talking about just like, and you know, you could go back to like how we did in the grocery stores when COVID started. Like, we ran out of like a quarter of the food and all the toilet paper immediately. And it's like, if we had a big, like, either an asteroid attack, I mean, smash into us, or a volcano goes, if we can't grow any food, he said basically we have 6 months. You have 6 months of food, and then everyone starts to starve to death. I mean, horrifying. I mean, what's the plan then? Do we stock up 10 years worth of food? Why would you even want to do that? Because at the end of the 10 years, you're like the only people left, and you've been eating terrible food the whole time, and now you're like, oh, we still can't grow anything. This sucks.
Ah, these are questions for tomorrow, bud.
Am I stressing you out, bro? Is this too much?
No, I mean, I was just about to put I Am Legend on, actually, right before we were hanging out, but I just decided to put a bunch of fail videos on, and it always reminds me of how good I have it when I'm not stepping through like a platelet of thin glass or anything. These driving through
walls. It's like
walls.
A fun fantasy to imagine being like the only person that lives in a city. You can just drive all the cars you want, go to all the stores you want. But really, that would get super lonely and horrendously boring
wouldn't take long. Like, you think about what's the worst thing they do to you in jail. They'd put you by yourself. Well, who wants to be by themselves?
Yeah. Well, you could make an imaginary friend like Tom Hanks did.
Wilson.
Castaway, yeah. That probably like would be your first move. Just have a bunch
you
of
could,
imaginary
you had a lot
friends.
Of, a lot of books. You could read a lot of books, maybe. I don't know.
You probably would have to just to figure out how to survive. I don't know.
Correct.
Yeah, too much. Well, on that depressing note... Well, look, we haven't been hit by any asteroids, so let's not worry about it. It hasn't happened for a long time. We're going to be okay, folks. We're going to be okay. But something to think about. Something to think about. Well, it's been a wild couple of weeks, guys. And if you listen to us, you're Rogan fans, and I'm sure he appreciates your support. Keep supporting him through this crazy time, as we will. And we appreciate you guys listening, as always. And we look forward to chatting with you guys more next week. Later, folks.